Okay, let's look at some of my friend's comments on this parsha. The first essay he entitles Different Generations and with Different Challenges. He says, Rashi quotes in the name of the Torah Kohanim that the word Tzav, the name of our parsha, indicates Zirus, encouraging in the strongest possible terms, for immediate moment and for the future. Rashi quotes the Tana Rashimin, who says that situations which involve Chisorin Kis, loss of money, when that happens, the Torah asks people to act in it with emergency. So the question is here, what are you talking about? Aaron's tell him to shut up.
No.
Huh? No, we don't need Harry. Right? What's going on? What's this monetary issue? This was our own, and he wasn't asked to lay out money in doing the mitzvahs in the Beis HaMikdash. So he quotes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky saying, Aaron was an Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom. His special attribute was that he had a close relationship with each member of Klal Yisrael. And this warmth was the pinnacle, greater than even Moshe's relationship. Aaron was the most beloved of the entire house of Israel. No peer. With this great emphasis that Aaron felt for everyone, it was probably bothersome when he had to see Jews spend money on an oila offering. Because don't forget, the oila was completely given to the Rabboni Shel Olam. It was totally used in the Mizbeah. And he says, remember that we even had this notion of Kate from his, that when the altar was empty, they would bring other oilos, right, from a special fund collected for this purpose. And Aaron may have said, I feel bad that people are expending their money totally on a godly item that gives them no personal benefit. Rav Shimon Schwab says something else. He says the word tzav, right, zrizus, encouragement, quick action, now and future, right? And he says, in every generation, there are different problems, different challenges. Every period, right, has a different set of circumstances. He says, in history, during the first Beis HaMikdash, people were not skimpy at all, but they had become so acclimatized to bringing korbanos, it became rote. A korban was supposed to be a watershed event. The individual was supposed to visualize that what was happening to the korban, its blood being spilt on the mizbeah and its flesh burning, is instead of the individual, God forbid, suffering this fate. The spending money on their korban, right? In the first Beis Hamikdash, however, had become, as he says, an empty gesture. It didn't move anybody. And he quotes Yeshaya, saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, why do I need your numerous sacrifices? I'm sated. I've had enough. I'm satisfied. Bizganik, with the olos of rams, etc., and the fat of fatlings, the blood of bulls, sheep, and goats, Yechilisnit. God says, no more. I don't want this. God said, I don't need this, and I don't want it. In the second bias, it was the opposite. He said, Malachi tells us that people were bringing inferior quality animals to the Beis HaMikdash. He said they were becoming like the modern Jews. You gotta be a Jew at heart. The outer trappings don't matter. It's how you feel. So if there's no ear on the behemoth, who cares? How could God care? I have a Jewish heart, right? And I'm giving to God. And the Navi said, if you give this altar, right? If you give this sacrifice in this manner, you're really saying, we hate you, Hashem. When you bring a blind animal and you pretend there's nothing wrong, when it's lame or sick, doesn't matter. He says, tell you what, Malachi says, I want you to take these damaged animals and I want you to give it as a gift of tribute to the governor, to the king. Show him how much you care with these mutilated animals. How much pleasure, what's the reaction of the human recipient? Obviously, you can't just do it in your heart. It's got to be reality. Both factors are necessary. We need kavana, the inner feeling, but we've got to do the best as we can. We've got to meticulously follow written rules, especially. If it says that a korban, that name, can't be brought, you don't have the right to change this. He says that's what Rashi is saying. The tzav to future generations is, I want you to bring korbanos in the same manner that they were brought in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash initially, in perfection. And Rashi says, to do it right, it's going to cost money. You've got to extend money to do it right. We extend money on many mitzvahs, on our tefillin, right, on our mezuzos and everything, and we're always required to do it with heart and soul, doing it the best way we can, and giving the appropriate financial attention in acquiring the item. He says, later on in the Parsha, we have the description of the Korban Taida, the thanksgiving, right? And this was a shlomim that one could only eat for one day and a night, and he had to bring with it 40 loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers, right? And we had this tremendous amount of food. Who brought it? Someone who recovered from illness. He had been mortally ill, right? somebody who got out of jail, and we probably a goyish jail, which nobody really got out of. Someone who went through traveling through the ocean or through the desert and returned alive. And they brought this korban, right, with all of the 40 breads, right? And they had a truncated amount of time where it could be eaten. Can you imagine having to eat 40 challahs in one day, you and your family? He said, there's only one way to do this. And what's that? You've got to get other yidin to share. Right? You've got to throw a party. A party in honor of God doing what God did for you. You need to invite your brother and brother-in-law, your neighbor and your neighbor's neighbor to eat. And they'll ask you why, and you will announce, look what a Kodesh Baruch Hu did for me. Right? I'm doing this only as a measure of thanking Hashem. He says, my friend brings a comment by the Netziv that we say in Hallel, "V'cha ezbach zevach toida u'v'shem Hashem ekra." Nodarai l'Hashem ha'shalem negdono l'chol amoy. To you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I offer a Torah sacrifice. I call out in the name of Hashem. My promise to Hashem, I will pay up opposite all of the congregation in the courtyard of the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midst of Yerushalayim. It will be paid up in the presence of everyone. It may be brought privately in the chatzah, the courtyard, but it's going to be eaten in pomp and ceremony so that as many people as possible will realize what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has done for the person who gave it. And Siv says, there's another Shlomim offer, that we only get to eat for one night, also truncated from the normal time of 2 days and a night, the Korban Pesach. Here too, right? If you don't have enough people in your family to consume this lamb or goat, then you gather with others. You need a chabura. We say, don't leave over anything. Get enough people around the Korban Pesach, having the Seder together to finish. That way, we get more and more people in joint company, sharing the spreading of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's word and spreading the thanksgiving to Hashem for having given us Pesach, for having made us into a nation. The Chiddushei Rim has another comment on the Toda, the Thanksgiving offering. He says, you know why you got to eat it up in one day? That human nature is such that yesterday's miracle is yesterday's miracle. Today's a new day. And he says, thank God it does come with its own miracles. We say in Modim, the miracles God performs daily. We should properly celebrate the miracle of today, and the miracle of tomorrow. Therefore, when the miracle of today is given this gathering of many people, it magnifies the knowledge in people's minds of the fact that, of course, Hashem does this. Okay. But my friend goes on, that essay was a number of years ago. In this week's comment, he says, the Todah refers to a nace nistor, right? The hidden type of nace. It's not Kriyas Yamsuf. It's not the Makais. It's someone who had the hand of God reach out and help them individually. They're cured from a terrible illness. They're freed from a terrible jail. They went through dangerous circumstances and were saved. And he says, look at this. He says, where is this listed? In what Sedra? Parshas Tzav. He says, Parshas Tzav is the...
Where did he go?
It is the Parsha gift to Kohanim, right? He says, why do Kohanim need a special memory, a special reminder of God's miracle every day? And he says, we learn there were 10 miracles daily in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen could say, right, I never saw a fly in the Beis HaMikdash, no matter how many korbanos we shechted. I never saw fire being put out by torrential rain if it came over the Mizbeach. And everywhere they looked, the Kohanim saw miracles. They could feel them. They could, right? They see them with their own eyes. If that's the case, the Kohanim may have the notion when somebody comes to bring a Todah, it's not such a great thing compared to fire never going out in rain, so you got through the desert. And he says, we've got to understand there's two types of nisim. There's the infrequent, open miracle, God speaking on Sinai, right? And then there's the infrequent openness as well. For example, once God spoke only once to us, God only brought the 10 makos once. And he says, the combination of the nace that we see should teach us to internalize what we say in Modim on every miracle that God does every day. The great miracles in public are meant to teach us that God constantly does miracles for people. And then my friend says, this notion is expanded upon, he says, on the last Ramban written on Parsha's bow, the Parsha where the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim. And he said, and paraphrasing what the Ramban says, the Rabbi Morty Anton wrote this for the Young Israel of Queens Value in their Parsha Corner. He said, the Ramban says the reason that we have many mitzvot that we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim is only again to give us constant and daily reminders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything in the world. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the open miracles, teach us how to view the Neis Nisper, the hidden ones. The number and types of mitzvos, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, gives us an insight on how much reinforcement we all need. We're reminded in Shema about the mezuzah on our doorpost, the tefillin that we wear, the tzitzis. Shabbos is also a zikaron, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach, obviously, the Pesach, the fact that we don't eat chametz for 7 days. And the Ramban adds that the severity of punishment for people who, unfortunately, don't do these mitzvahs, adds an extra dimension, right? Because we should try to understand how important they are. He doesn't say you get extra punishment because of their Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim message, but he says it's exceedingly important. The question is, why, pray tell, do we naturally have difficulty to believe? And why does the Kaddish Baruch Hu say we need so much reinforcing?
Yeah.
What is it in our nature, right, that causes this need? He says in Parshas Vayera, he says we see the argument between the sons-in-law of Lot and the Malachim who came to save them. Right? The Malachim said, right, it's time to leave Sodom. It's going to be overturned. And the sons-in-law said, what are you talking about? They said, how is it possible that Sodom, a city filled with people, right, who are so many and seemingly so strong, can be upset? And the rabbi says, this is an attitude that is very, very common, and I guess inborn, in our natural way we were created. For whatever reason, we have a hard time realizing it. And that's why we have the Korban Torah, and we have the mitzvah Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we have to think about them. We're required. Ani ma'amin doesn't say I believe. Ani ma'amin is a reflexive verb. I make myself believe. I remind myself. I think about it. And that's the mitzvah that we have when we have to think about the Chasdei Hashem. Okay, the rabbi's here. I'm going to go. Thank you. Have a great